89.3 4CRB.
And a very good morning to you. This is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you for the last program of The Law and You for 2018. Can you believe that? Where has the year gone? But this is your opportunity to get free legal advice this morning between now and 9:30, 10:30 Tweed Coast time. All you need to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. 5520888 is the number. That number again, 5520888. And someone who's been sitting there very patiently for some time, Bruce. Good morning, Bruce. How are you today?
Oh, is that you, John?
It is indeed. How are you?
Bruce and Lucy here. Just have a small query for
sure,
you.
Sure.
We're in our 90s, good health, reasonably comfortable financially. Our problem is we've had two attempts with wills and powers of attorney, with very small result. We wonder of your opinion on the matter of family trusts or carry on and try and find another one could do a will for us. What do you think?
Well, if you're looking to protect your children and possible grandchildren...
No, nothing involved there.
Okay.
All right. Just the two of us.
Right, okay. So so what are you trying to achieve under your will?
Oh, we're just handing out to anybody, really, yeah.
All right.
Most of us are going to go to the dog's home.
Right, okay. Well, that's nice to hear. Well, certainly you need to get your will sorted out because... obviously that's, it's very important that you do have your will in place and that it's been properly prepared. And at 90 years of age, if you don't have a power of attorney already, I would certainly be recommending that you do get powers of attorney in place. And the other thing too that you might be thinking about, Bruce, is an advance health directive so that, in the event that anything were to happen to either of you, there's a clear indication of what treatment you may wish to have, and what treatment you do not wish to have. So I would certainly be persevering to get your wills sorted out. I don't know that there's any particular benefit to you in establishing a family trust at this point in time. So my recommendation would be to give... Whereabouts on the Gold Coast do you live? Which suburb?
Southport.
Okay, well, my recommendation would be to give the Queensland Law Society a call.
Yeah.
And they would be able to give you a recommendation for a law firm near to where you are who specialise in the preparation of wills so that you could get a will done which is going to be, and a power of attorney, that's going to be tailor-made to your circumstances.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, well, that's very good advice. Thank you very much, John.
Okay, then, Bruce, all the very best.
Might see you Thursday. Otherwise, it'll be Tuesday again.
Okay, well, Thursday, of course, is Finance Forum. So,
yeah.
Oh, you mean the music program?
Yeah.
Yes, fair enough. I'll look forward to hosting it.
Okay.
Cheers now. Bye-bye now. And you're in tune with 4CRB. The Law and You is the program. The telephone number 5520888 if you have a question or a query this morning. Last program for the year, so if you do need some advice right now, get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. Presently, we have no callers online, so if you have a question or a query, you would be able to get straight through. Now, while we're waiting for some callers to come in, and with this being the last program of the year and Christmas fast approaching, I thought it may be appropriate just to recap on what I've said off and on during the year in relation to scams. And sadly, the prevalence of these scams seems to be increasing, and statistics released by the ACCC and ASIC suggest that more and more people are getting caught up in these things with often devastating consequences. So with Christmas fast approaching, of course, the one that you need to be very careful of is postal scams. And I've heard of incidents recently where people have received emails which appear to be from Australia Post or from another genuine courier company saying that your parcel's on its way and to click on this link and you can, you know, to track your parcel. But what you really need to be careful of is to think about whether you've actually ordered anything at all. And if you haven't ordered anything and you get a text message or an email suggesting that that you've got a parcel on its way and to click a link to find out when it's going to be deleted, whatever you do, you should delete that email, because if you haven't ordered anything, then obviously it's a scam, and what they're trying to do is get access to your computer using that link. Often these links contain spyware or malware, which can affect your computer, and so therefore very important that you are careful about not ending up with that on your computer. Now we've got a couple more callers online, so we'll say a very good morning to Murray. G'day, Murray. How are you today? Hello, hello, Murray. Are you there?
Hello there, John. How are you?
I'm very well. Murray, yourself?
Good, mate. Yep.
How can we help?
John, public trustee.
Yep.
They have a fee.
For what?
For administering a will.
Yes, they do charge for administering an estate. That's quite correct.
Okay. Now, is that an ongoing charge, or is it one-off, or...?
No, they charge, as I understand, they used to charge commission based on the value of the estate, but it's my understanding that they now charge fees on an ongoing basis, depending on the work that is done. So if you were interested in using the public trustee as the executor for your will, what you would be advised to do would be to speak to them in relation to their administration fees, so that you could get an idea of what sort of costs you're going to be up for.
And that would be a continuing administration fee? The situation I have, I've come across,
yep,
and they've asked for help, is that they are getting royalties.
Right.
And the royalties are progressive, as you know, and they continue to administer the estate. Now, they would be continuing to charge a fee on that as they administer?
Yes, they would.
Okay, so...
Depending on the circumstances of the will, Murray, it may be that the administration of the estate reaches a time where there's no longer any need to have them involved. So it would depend on the age of the beneficiaries and the terms of the will. But if it's just a vanilla will which says, you know, I leave the whole of my estate to my friend Bill, and Bill is, 18 years or above, and there's no provisions in the will that say that it's got to be held on trust for Bill, then all the any executor should do, whether it be the public trustee or any other executor, is simply administer the will to the point where the right to receive those royalties has been assigned to the person who's entitled to them under the will, and then they can just continue to receive them into their bank account going forward, if that's what the terms of the will provide.
Right, yeah, the situation is that, they're Aborigines, so I don't know whether that influences at all, but the public trustee appears to be acting very paternally, and if they ring up, they ask for money, yeah, they get some money.
Right.
But the administrator or the public trustee continues to receive the royalties into their account and then farm it out, so they're continuing to receive fees.
Yes, that's quite right. So, look, Murray, what needs to be looked at there is the terms of the will, to see whether the public trustee is charged with the responsibility of the ongoing administration of the estate or not. And if they're not, and there's no reason why that can't be changed, then it may be possible for these people to have that administration brought to an end, and for the right to receive the royalties to be directly assigned to the beneficiaries.
And how would they go about that?
Well, they'd need to get some legal advice to start with. Are the people located on the Gold Coast?
No, they're up in Cairns.
Okay, well, look, there would more than likely be a legal service up there. In many of the regional centres, they do have an Aboriginal legal service can go and get free legal advice. So they could go into perhaps the Aboriginal legal service in Cairns. I'd be surprised if there isn't one in Cairns, because there's a fairly large Indigenous population in Cairns. and they should be a, and if they, they would be entitled to a copy of the will because they're beneficiaries under the will, so they're entitled to get a copy of the will, and they should take that copy of the will in and get some advice on what their rights are.
All right, then. Thank you very much. That sort of gives them a way of approaching it. Thank you.
Certainly does. Okay, then, Murray, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB, 15 and a half minutes past 9. That's past 10 Tweed Coast time, and we say a very good morning to Keith. G'day, Keith. How are you today? Hello, Keith. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you today?
I'm on top of the day, thank you.
Fantastic.
About a year and a half ago, you were talking to somebody about the funeral costs and so forth. The person does the natural thing of dying, and you've got to pay an exorbitant amount to the funeral people for just to bury you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have an insane government, you know, who thinks that they can just claim your body, and they say that when you die, your body belongs to them, and they can harvest your organs and just carry on like that. Is that going to put all the funeral people, the funeral parlours and undertakers out of business, or is that just a fantasy?
Well, the government doesn't have a right to harvest your organs. You've got to be, you've got to sign on to become an organ donor. But all that happens there with organ donation is that people specify, they may specify some organs, or they may say, I donate my whole body to medical science. But even when that happens, there will still be a funeral, or there can still be a funeral. I know that certain of the medical schools, for example, will arrange for the a burial or cremation of remains after they've finished using them.
I'm aware of all the details. I've been to it. I've looked at it and understand all the detail. But we've got a proposal from this government that they just want to claim your body.
Well, I think there's a suggestion that organ donation should be mandatory, so that they can take your organs. I thought that what the proposal was, and I haven't looked at it for a little while, but I thought the proposal was that it's one of those things where you're deemed to be opted in unless you opt out. So, in other words, you would need to specifically say that I do not wish to be an organ donor, rather than the other way round at the moment, where you must have opted in as an organ donor before they can take any organs.
So either way, you have got
an option. The only thing is that if the proposal becomes law that all people are deemed to be organ donors and that you have to opt out, that certainly doesn't mean that undertakers are going to be out of business, because quite often what happens with organ donation is that organs are harvested from someone's body when they're in the hospital. Their body is then transferred across to the funeral director, and quite a normal funeral takes place. I don't think it's going to be the demise of the funeral industry by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I just can't get my head around the fact that they're going to make it a mandatory thing. Then you've got to make the opposition. You've got to make the effort to say no.
Mm. What you would do, instead of now having an organ donor card, I think what it's based on, Keith, is this, that the overwhelming majority of people, as I understand it, are quite in favour of organ donation, and a lot of people say, oh yeah, look, I should do that, but they just never get around to signing up as an organ donor. So I think what the government is trying to do is say, well look, we'll opt in, but if you have strong feelings against organ donation, then you can opt out.
Okay. No, I understand.
So, because the simple reality is that there are so many perfectly good organs that either get cremated or buried with people simply because they just didn't get around to filling a form out. So this way the government's saying, well, look, we have such a shortage of organ donors, we'll make it that you are deemed to be agreeing to organ donation unless you opt out.
I see. Now, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay, then, Keith. All the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 20 minutes after 9. That's 20 minutes after 10, daylight saving time. And we say a very good morning to Len. G'day, Len. How are you today?
Good, thank you, John. Yourself?
Sorry you had such a wait there, Len. I'm well indeed.
That's all
thanks.
Right.
How can I help?
Okay. I had a will made up about 25 years ago.
Right.
Would that still be sort of valid?
Have you married since that will was made?
No.
Okay. Have you been divorced since that will was made?
No.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then as long as the will was valid when it was originally made, Len, it certainly would still be valid now.
Right.
If you've changed address, which I'm sure you probably have in 25 years.
Moved, I have a couple of times.
Yeah, moved from one state to another or whatever. All of that is totally irrelevant. As long as the will was originally valid when it was drawn up, whether it was made 25 years ago or 50 years ago, the will would still be valid.
Okay, because I had it done in Newcastle and now I'm up in Pottsville.
Right, okay. Beautiful part of the world, Pottsville.
It is. It's lovely.
Very nice indeed. That would certainly be fine. The only thing I would suggest you do, Len, is just have a read through the will and make sure that it still is doing what you want. For example, make sure that the executor named under the will is still alive or is still competent, because if they are not, then it does create a slight complication. So just read through it and make sure that you're still happy with all the terms and appointed executors and all those sorts of people are still appropriate.
Well, I've never sort of had anyone to, like, I haven't even got a power of attorney, but I have a friend, a very good friend, that's an ex-police commissioner and a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lawyer, so he'd be able to handle that, would he?
Yes, but they need to be named in the will to that role. And if you don't already have a power of attorney, Len, I would strongly recommend that you put one in place. If you're living in New South Wales, you've actually got to do it in two parts. You do a general form of enduring power of attorney, which is for financial matters, and then you do an enduring guardianship, which is for personal and health matters.
Okay.
But I would certainly get those in place because if something happened to you, if you got hit by a bus crossing the street or you had a stroke and ended up in hospital unconscious, then you need to have someone who can look after your affairs while you're out of action.
Well, that's fine. Thank you very much for all your information and advice and happy have a nice Christmas.
And I hope you do too, Len. All the very best. The time on 4CRB is 9:22. That, of course, is 10:22 Tweed Coast time. We still have time for some questions, so the lines are again free. If you've got a question or a query, get on that telephone right now. 5520888 is the number. If, like Len, you're ringing from south of the Tweed River, don't forget, of course, that you need to put 07 in front of the number, but otherwise you'll get straight through. 5520888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Karen Andrews, your local federal member for McPherson here on the Southern Gold Coast. Do you know someone locally worthy of an Order of Australia award? Any Australian can nominate a fellow citizen. Go to gg.gov.au.
You and your family are invited to Santa Fest at Halcyon Greens Pimpama, Saturday, December 15. There'll be plenty of free entertainment and food, and the day will be packed with Christmas activities, including a human snow globe, and Santa will be there too. Come along, bring your friends and family, and join in the fun-filled festivities. Santa Fest at Halcyon Greens Pimpama, 10 till 1 Saturday, December 15. Google Life Begins at Halcyon for more.
A sponsor.
Every minute, every hour, every day, Cancer Council Queensland is working towards a cancer-free future. A gift in your will to Cancer Council Queensland is a lasting legacy that provides hope for a cancer-free future. Through your will, you can help fund life-saving cancer research and support services for patients and their families. For more information about how you can leave a gift in your will, please call 1300 663936 or visit cancerqld.org.au.
A sponsor.
And this is The Law and You on 4CRB. 5520888 is our number, the last program of The Law and You for 2018. We say a very good morning to Helen. Hello, Helen. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, John.
How can we help you?
Tell me, if a couple's married and one of them walk out on their marriage, is the wife liable for any bills or anything that that husband might, you know, build up and not pay?
The wife would only be, or either party, in fact, would only be liable if they are somehow jointly liable. So, for example, Let's just take hypothetically that a husband walks out on his wife. They own a home jointly. Then obviously the mortgage debt on that home will normally be the joint and several responsibility of the couple. So they're both liable for that. If they have a joint credit card, although normally the credit card account is in one name and then there's a supplementary card for the other. So, for example, if the card was in the husband's name but the wife has a supplementary card, then the husband would be primarily liable. So it's only where there can be established some joint liability. If, for example, the husband was a builder and he had an account at the local hardware store, but both he and his wife were the guarantors on that account, and the husband racks up a lot of bills at the hardware store and doesn't pay them, then the wife can be liable. But if the husband simply goes into the hardware store and buys a whole lot of goods without paying for them, and refuses to pay, then if the wife is no way linked to that, then she won't be liable. The only exception to that would be that if the hardware ultimately took action against the husband and they found out there was a jointly owned home, they might try to exercise a lien over the house to recover the money that's owing to them. All right, then.
Good, thank you. So if the husband left and he started a business of his own,
yep,
the wife wouldn't be liable for any debt.
As long as she has not signed any documentation to make her liable.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All the very best. And we say a very good morning to Charles. G'day, Charles. How are you today? Hello, Charles. Are you there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How can we help you today, Charles?
Look, I had an inquiry regarding a person who's died overseas, and I was the executor of his will many years ago, but I don't think he's done any more about it, and I'd like to find out who and where I'd go to check up on just what the situation is there.
Right, so do you know who his solicitor was?
Ah, dear. I could find out. I'm not sure, but I could find out. He recently visited Australia with his new wife, and he had told her that he was going to some government office to take care of his will.
Right. So you're telling me that he's recently married?
About 10 years ago, yeah, 12 years.
And when did he make the will that appointed you as executor?
I think he was here about 4 or 5 years ago, and I have always been the trustee and executor of his financials, even at the bank.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure where I would go or who I would see.
Right. Well, you don't make a will with a government agency unless he makes it with the public trustee.
Right.
So I would be suggesting that the first thing to do is perhaps get in touch with his solicitor to find out whether his solicitor owns has a will. But if he's recently made a new will, it may be that he's, for example, appointed his new wife as executor. So, I would be going in the first instance to any solicitor that previously was acting for him to find out whether they have any record, of making a new will or whether you're still executor under the will.
Okay. Right.
Okay, Charles.
If I was appointed, regarding his banking details as a...
That authority would normally cease on his death.
That would cease on his death?
Yes. So the only person who then has the right to do anything is the executor.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, Charles. Okay. All the very best. Okay. And probably our last call for 2018, Rose. Good morning, Rose. How are you today? Hello.
Hi.
Rose.
Yes, good morning.
How can we help?
Please, something I never thought of. My girlfriend and I share we rent a place together. We're very close friends,
mm-hmm.
and we thought we buy a car between us.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. So there's the both names on the registration of the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's paid for, and we use it either. She uses it, I use it, we both use it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something all of a sudden passed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen, we never thought of it, if one died?
The car,
she got a family, I got a family.
Yeah, the car would normally go, would be regarded as being held as joint tenants, and so the car would go to the survivor out of the two of you.
Okay, so nothing to do with will.
No, so because...
I got a will for my family, and she got a will for her family.
Yeah, you'd have to record... It, normally, ownership of a car in joint names is presumed to be joint. Joint tenants, and therefore it automatically goes to the surviving owner. However, the only way that you could get around that would be to execute a document under which you acknowledge that you each own your half share of the car and you can leave it to whoever you like. The other thing you could possibly do, if you want to just put it beyond doubt between the two of you, is to just write something up whereby you acknowledge between the two of you that you hold the car as joint tenants and that the car will belong to the survivor of you on the death of either one of you.
I appreciate your advice.
Okay,
have a
good
day.
All the very best. And you too. Well, thank you so much for all of those calls. They're certainly many and varied and a great way to finish the year. This is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. Thank you so much for your calls and have a happy and blessed Christmas together with health and happiness in the year ahead. Until we meet again in the new year, goodbye and God bless.